I think I'm thinking about the city up in Germany, Bremen.
Bremen.
Who's that? Way up north. And was going to be up there for army occupation for quite a while, they thought. I was there for 2 weeks and came back home. Supposed to go to South Pacific.
Oh, okay.
So. Well, I was going to come back home. We're going down to Mississippi. We're going to get trained for South Pacific. And, of course, we got down there. And then, of course, we had a furlough. I don't think we had 30 days, but we had quite a furlough. Only 2-3 weeks at home. Well, then, of course, we got back. Started in. Of course, then the war over there ended. Dropped atomic bomb and that. So, that... took care of that, so we didn't have to go there. So then we stuck around there for a while. And finally we got, wait a minute now. Yeah, then we got discharged from down there, from Mississippi.
Okay.
Came back home, so.
And then, how did you get home? Did you just get on a train and come home, or?
Pardon?
Did you take the train home, or how did you get back?
Well, that's how you get home, with a train. That's the only way you could travel, by train. And I can remember going from train to get a furlough from down South Carolina, Fort Jackson, South Carolina. I take a train to Atlanta, I think it was. I change there, go to Cincinnati, and change, and then go to Chicago. And then, of course, to Madison. And that take about a day and a half. It's a coal furnace, a coal fired motor. Locomotive, and gosh, you'd be just black as could be, sleep on the floor, sleep somewhere at night.
When you were coming back, did the smoke blow in on you, or did you have to just keep?
No, the windows and everything was shut. I think it was, but anyway, this coal would sleep coming through the windows somehow, or another the doors and so on, and. How'd you be black, your clothes and everything else from that? But I'm sure it'd take us at least a day and a half, maybe close to 2 days to come back home. So I would like to ride a train again, not that train. It'd be kind of fun to get on the train and go.
I think it's quite a different experience.
Oh, yeah. But I think it'd be kind of fun.
Well,
but I was talking about we were in the Rhine River. I have to think of the town as Rheinhausen that we were at. And thinking about that too, we stayed there for quite some time and then we were supposed to get transferred to a different location. Well, let's go back to Rheinhausen. We had we captured a wine and champagne cellar before we got there. And we had a guy from Pennsylvania. His name was Penn. And he drank a lot of wine that one night. Of course, oh God, he said it was quiet out. And heck, they're shooting shells at us about 2 blocks away, whatever, almost all night. By the way, that's the guy, Matt probably said that before I cut his hair that night. But anyway, we left Rheinhausen. And of course, they have the, what they call them now, anyway, the drivers. The trucks there to haul us to a different location. And of course, they were shelling about a block away or 2 blocks away or something like that. And we're all in the truck, all set to go, and we couldn't find the drivers. They all ran and hide because of the shelling. But we were kind of used to it, and we kind of knew just about where the shells were going to land, we thought, in a way. So we sat there, and we finally got the drivers and we got out of there. So.
How long did you have to wait for them?
Oh, I don't know. I imagine a half hour at least, probably, you know. But we just kind of happy to get out of there. It was a nice area, though. Beautiful area. So, I don't remember one place, too. It was in Germany. It was a great railroad station. And maybe I mentioned it the last time, but anyway, we slept downstairs in the station, and after the all the boxes came in, and there were a lot of them there. This after Christmas, it must have been February or first part of March, and we went through all the boxes, my God. We found American cigarettes in some of those boxes in there. And then this one night, we'd have to we'd stand guard every night. I think we'd stand guard 4 hours and have a couple hours off and go back out again. And I can't quite think of the little guy's name. He just suffered hell around town. But he got out there, was really noisy, and so on. I saw he stood guard with the guy. He was about as big as a coward there was, and he just couldn't get there fast enough. But we had to cross the whole slew of tracks at night to get there to stand guard. And stand guard in a tunnel. And anyway, it was pretty quiet. But anyway, the one night we was sleeping down there in that place where they keep these storage, these boxes and so on. And we heard a rumble, and here comes a bunch of tanks. And we was kind of worried there's Germans coming. But we got this American tanks, thank God. But we had, maybe I've mentioned before too, but anyway, we had a little guy named Rumstead, something like that. I think I've mentioned it. He was about 5 foot tall, and he had a BAR. That's one of the big powered rifles, anyway. It's really long, and every time he carries it, it touches the ground. But he was out looking for something to drink that one night. He came back with two German prisoners. Mm-hmm. So,
you didn't mention that.
I mentioned that. Yeah.
Where did he find them? Do you know anything about where he found them, or
no,
how he happened to come across them?
He's 1 year old.
Was there any assignment or duty that you did that really stands out in your mind? Like any particular job you had to do that?
Not really. I guess just really every regular thing every day, you know? And of course, you had a platoon sergeant and to the leader, and you follow them.
What was your average day like? Was it a lot of waiting around and waiting for orders, or?
No, they're pretty well organized.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have a certain area you had to take, or, you know, you had to recover or recapture, and you get that. But I was lucky. I got hit, you know, got wounded, so I got out of there. So, and we didn't get there when the, like D-Day, it was after D-Day, we were. So, I mean, we didn't have the really tough fighting like they did. But, I don't know if I mentioned it before when I joined the outfit. Came into town, and, anyway, they had a funeral in that town that day, and you could hear the church bells ringing. Well, all they do with a funeral, you know, and a hearse and so on, we saw that. And off the distance, you just hear the shells exploding. I can remember that.
You didn't mention that.
Oh.
So they were having a funeral right in the midst of the battle
had gone beyond their location, but it wasn't very far away.
Yeah.
Well, maybe somebody got, maybe died, they got shelled or killed or something like that, I'm not sure.
And that was one of your first places that you went
right,
to?
Right, yeah, first get there.
Did it make you nervous?
No, I think, you know, you're just kind of looking, you know, what's going to come next, and see what's going on, and well, I wasn't nervous. I know we joined our office at night. Maybe I told you that. He had two German prisoners who we joined them. 95th.
So that night you went and joined up with the battle that you couldn't
right.
hear. Okay.
So. And I think about that when I got hit too. I never did mention that, but when I got back to the first aid station to give you shots and so on, take care of your wounds, and there was a German prisoner laying there, and he had a piece of bone sticking out of his leg, and took care of us first before they took care of him. So I kind of wonder, you know, what happened to that guy.
Yeah.
So.
I bet there's a lot of stories like that.
Yeah. So.
Just wonder.
So that's about it, I guess. I wish I could think of that camp, Camp Shelby.
Camp Shelby.
Camp Shelby, Mississippi.
That's where you were sent first.
That's where we got discharged from.
Oh, okay.
Camp Shelby.
Okay.
Mississippi.
When you weren't fighting and you had some free time, what did you do to entertain yourself?
No, they kept us pretty busy. I mean, either be moving or something. We'd be moving constantly, you know. I don't ever mention it or not, but I remember we camped in this one town this one night, early in the morning. Maybe mention that. But anyway, you can just see him cooking breakfast down there at the one place. And, of course, and this is Germany. And we come into town, of course, we kick the people out of their place or give them a location they can go to. And I remember when we went in there, started making our own breakfast. And we weren't there very long. We went, had to keep on moving. So, I can still picture the light in the kitchen.
So. How'd you feel about having to kick people out of their houses?
I don't know. It didn't really bother you very much. You don't kick them out of the house. You just give them a room or something, upstairs or so on. But see, we go to Germany, we sleep in the houses. In France, we sleep outside. Or sleep in a barn or something like that.
How come it was different that way?
Well, France is a friend, I suppose, and Germany's our enemy, see?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Did you ever get a chance to talk to the people?
Well, not really. I mean, that wasn't our job.
You probably wouldn't want to talk to them.
Well, we would. I think that I'd be friends with them, but... did I talk about Palm Sunday? Well, just before the war was over was the Palm Sunday, remember that? And it was in a pretty nice place, at a house. We were on the second floor, where we all slept on the floor. But anyway, we always had a flag up, American flag. We had a place, American flag. Got in a little town there, they wanted to put up their own church flag for Palm Sunday. So we let them do it. And of course, then Palm Sunday, they come and march through. They put little leaves and so on the street to get up to their church. And yeah, they're all dressed up, you know. And I remember we were standing down there. It was in kind of a courtyard. We were standing down watching them, you know, marching to church and singing and so on. And that's something you don't forget.
Something happened that day?
Okay.
Did something happen
that day? Oh, no, no. That was just about Armistice Day, just about 2 weeks before the war is over with, something like that, with Europe.
Was there any close friendships that you made when you were serving that you kept in touch with after the war?
Oh, yeah. See, there was four of us guys. We stuck together. A guy from Greenwood, he was from Reedsburg. And... Orrin Failing, he was not Orrin Failing. Joe Holton, he was from Baraboo. Butkey, Earl Butkey from Whitewater. And we all kept together. I was in Whitewater, I was in Earl Butkey's wedding when he got married. So But we were together, and then Earl Buckey got transferred out too. Or the other guys got captured. They were the 106th Division. They got captured. But anyway, they're all gone now. They're all passed on. But then there's guys from Madison too. Slendy, Bert Slendy, and there was a Nelson. And Bert Slendy, I used to see him. We used to live in the middle of the villages one time. And he lived out there too, so I'd see him once in a while. And then there's a guy out in Pennsylvania we keep in contact with. Him and I were in message centers together. And then I can't think of the other guy's name. He lived in Madison. And he's retired down in Florida. We went over to see him about 5, 6 years ago. I was thinking, Gulick isn't Gulick.
So what happened to the guys that were captured? Did they die in Germany, or did they come home?
No, they came home.
They came home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. So. Johnny Blair. Good. You know, you get to know a lot of guys. I mean, we were together for about a year and a half, you know, better than a year, and training and so on. So, and you get to know a lot of guys that way. More so than I got the 95th. I didn't know very many guys the 95th.
How long were you in the 95th?
Well, I got the 95th about a year, I suppose, about something like that. Probably a little better a year. But see, I joined the 95th about 2 or 3 weeks before D-Day. And of course, we were in Camp Kilmer on D-Day, I think it was. So the next week, then we shipped out too, about a week afterwards. But it's easy to make friends. I mean, you're all right there, and we're all together. You all got the same problems.
Yep.
So.
So what did you do after you left the service?
Well, I got back home, of course. One thing I want to say, I had, when we went in service, my youngest sister, Vivian, she was in grade school. I remember we came back, got discharged, and so I got back and they picked me up in Madison. She was a freshman in high school. What a lady.
Uh-huh.
So, but anyway, I got back. I was kind of looking for a job. We lived on a farm down in Springdale. And they were looking for somebody for help. And of course, Wes Botkins was in service too, because we knew quite well. So I went to work for them for about a year, something like that.
On a farm?
No, town of Springdale.
What kind of business was it?
Well, take care of roads, cut weeds,
and
that kind of work.
Okay.
Plow snow, So, and then I worked for Reynolds Transfer for 3 years. I had my own truck, 7-Up truck, for about 2 years. But then I went to work for D. Mill Company for 18 years. And then when my dad died, we moved back to the farm. And then I got a job with Mobil. About 38 years, or 39, 40 years, we were distributors for them. We had stations in Madison and Mesa, Maine, New Blairs, we took care of. Plus we had truck. All for farmers, fuel oil, and so on. Then we had the laundromat dry cleaning right down here. That was ours. We started that.
So you kind of had your hand in quite a few things.
Yeah, quite a few things. So,
was there anything that you felt you learned while you were in the Army that kind of was a skill that you used later on in life?
I think one thing kept you pretty well organized in the Army. And discipline, boy. I don't know if I need that so much, maybe a little bit, but I see the kids nowadays, they need discipline so bad. That'd be a good place for them.
Yeah.
So, but I think, you know, you learn skill, you learn, well, what I had there in 106 was in the embassy center. I mean, we dealt with the lieutenants, and captains, and generals, and so on. And I think, you know, you know how to handle them and how to approach them and what you should say, what you shouldn't say. And what.
So people skills, kind of?
Yeah, I think so. So, so that's about it.
Did you join any veterans organizations?
Yeah, I belonged to the American Legion. Okay. Been there for what, quite a few years.
Okay. I guess the last question was, looking back, how do you feel about your military and war experiences?
Well, I think it's very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. My dad was in World War One, and I can remember, and of course he lived on a farm. Could probably got exempt for farm work, not going in. And my dad always said, no, you go on in. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just a great experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can live through it and keep without getting injured and so on. I mean, look at the people I met and the area I seen, the world and so on, different places and that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's. Where are you going to get that experience?
Yeah, that's true.
And you have schooling. I mean, we have schooling like for communications and so on. We have to go to school, learn how to do some of the things, you know. And I'm sure that thing just helps you in life afterwards, too, when you get out. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to say, or...?
No, I think that's, I can't think of anything else, really.
Yeah.
But, I guess I told you, the Tennessee Maneuvers, we went back to, we went to Atterbury, Indiana.
Maybe, I remember the Tennessee Maneuvers part, not sure about the Indiana. Did you
Want to say something? We went to Atterbury, Indiana, that's right outside of Indianapolis, about 40 miles south. We stayed there. That's when I got transferred out.
Okay. Yeah, you told me about that.
Yeah.
In the Jeep. And,
yeah. I didn't like that at all. But actually, it turned out to be the best. Mm-hmm. I mean, those guys captured, they went through a lot.
Mm-hmm. Did they ever talk to you about what they went through?
Some. Mm-hmm. Not a lot. Mm-hmm. I would like to see the Johnny Blair. I got to talk to him. Because him and I were in Message Center together, camp together, worked together. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'll make it or not. So, we get a Christmas card every year, back and forth. So, that's about it, I guess.
This is the end of the second and final interview with Wesley Field on September 23rd, 2008.